It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in this Sunday on Passover Easter weekend. It's really just an honor to come before you every Sunday. The mission of the show is just find amazing people and talk about what everybody's doing, folks like Steve Alford, to make the world better. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the show today, and it was very humbling to have my friend Steve Alford back on the show. I dragged him on over 2 years ago, and I reached out again recently. I said, you know, Steve, would it be possible for you to come back on the show? Steve Alford is one of these unique guys. He's really hard to describe. He's a beautiful person. The man has never stopped giving back. And when I asked him to come on the show, he's like, of course I'll come on. When do you need me? He's the guy who's a five-time Rotarian president. We're going to explore that with him. We're going to be talking about kindness attracts kindness. We're going to talk about the journey he's been on these 58 years on the planet. And once again, it's a great honor to have you on this morning, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Thank you so much. So before we get into it, I always ask all my guests, and I'd say, listen, do you have a picture you could kind of send us so we could kind of have my face, a little talk about what the show's going to be about? And then normally my guests send me like a profile picture, something professional. I know you're a great life insurance person, but it was striking. You sent me a picture of you on a bicycle, and I had to talk you out of wearing your leprechaun outfit in one of these photos. So what was up with the bicycle?
So it's kind of an interesting story. First of all, happy Easter and Passover to you, my good friend Todd Leonard, and all your listeners. I had finally planned a family reunion for all of my cousins, 60 of us, converged from all over the United States to Wildwood Crest, New Jersey. We were there all week, and it was about the fifth day. My wife and kids had to go home. They had to go back to work, whatever. And every day I had been walking that boardwalk. But when I first started walking, I walked right by this bicycle rental place every day. Of course, I never brought any money with me, and like that day that they had left, I started walking. It was windy, and I'm like, man, I'd really like to ride a bike. I don't want to walk this thing. Had no money. Went down, and I said, let me just take a shot. Let me just start rapping with this guy. Start rapping with him. He was from northern New Jersey. It was just enough of a commonality to be friendly. I said, man, I'd love to rent one. I didn't bring any money, man. I just really want to ride a bike. And he's like, you know what, man, just take that one over there. It's cool. Just bring it back. Don't damage it. And he gave me the bike, and I just – it was so awesome. Rode all the way up to those water parks, and I had my phone, and I'm like, this is so cool. I'd like to get a picture. And I just, you know, somebody walking by to say, can you take my picture? Just throws me on a bike. But the point of it is, you know, being friendly just opens up a lot of things. And everybody, I guess everybody is friendly, but they don't always act friendly, right? If you're friendly all the time, my good friend Justin Bennett has a saying, be how you are anywhere, everywhere. And you know, I'm truly that way. Like, this is me all the time. I don't know if everybody else is, but I just thought it was an interesting thing, you know, and I probably could have done it every day with different bike shops. You could probably do it on almost anything.
Yeah, you know, Steve, one of the things that I find so amazing about you is your attitude about life. And, you know, we all get knocked down. We all go through struggles. But one thing about you, and probably all the people that have been so blessed to know you, is you have that incredible enthusiasm. And you always seem, you know, upbeat and really just in a good mood. So I want to really explore, you know, the point of my show is just really talking about things that are good news, people making a difference. You know, sadly, we have a lot of bad news. And if you turn on the TV or you go on whatever social media, there's a lot of horrible things, unfortunately, happening at times. Guys like Steve Alford really lift my spirits. And that's really what we're trying to do is lift spirits. So, Stephen, I know you're from Randolph. I know that you live in Roxbury, and I would be remiss because people from Roxbury, they're just really an incredibly tight community. And you know, it's something that was really striking to me. Why did you settle in Roxbury?
Taxes.
God bless you. Yeah, I mean, taxes. I was talking to my great neighbor. We were all like almost crying in our scotch when we talked about the taxes this year. So You were born though, and you raised in Randolph for a while.
But I was. There's four sections to Randolph. I was in Ironia, which is the closest to the border of Roxbury. Growing up, you know, my father died when I was 12. My mother used to take us, either me or one of my brothers, make us go shopping with her at the ShopRite in Roxbury. Everybody from Randolph shopped. They didn't have all the retail space in Randolph that they do now. We all went to Roxbury. It was very close, you know, and I was very used to going there. And I've met so many people in my town of Roxbury that are from Randolph. You know, it's kind of like that. That's like the migration step. You go a little west, I guess it is, of Randolph.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I live in Morris County. I'm raising my family. I happen to love it as well. So you mentioned, you know, obviously from the last time I was so honored to have you appear, you lost your dad at age 12, which I wouldn't even imagine how difficult and challenging that is. And in preparation of the show, I wanted to, you know, kind of get a feel of, you know, a little bit more about it. If you can, and I know you love and adore your dad, and you told me, you share with me in some of the pre-interview discussion, he's your hero. Just a little bit, what about your dad? You know, you look back and you say, wow, you know, you're so blessed and fortunate.
Well, my wow is more like, wow, what would he have been like now? What would he have been like 10 years ago? What would he think of me? Did I make him proud? He was a real tough guy. He was born in Brooklyn, raised in Brooklyn. They used to tell me they learned to swim by the group you were with. They threw you in the East River. If you came out, that meant you could swim. We used to play catch in the yard. He wouldn't let us put on mitts until we could catch it with our bare hands. He was tough. But, you know, he was one of those guys that his look, you knew he was either happy with you or not happy with you just by the look he gave you. And I wonder all the time, like, is this product of me now? Would he have been proud of that? Well, that is intention. Like, you have kids, I have kids. We were just talking about you and your son playing golf. You have a vision for them, what you want them to be like, what you're hoping they'll become, except there's no age to become that, right? I'm watching my kids become what I hope they would become. They are that already. But what's left? You know, I'll never know that with my dad. So it's more of, I can picture all the things he did, picture some of the things he taught me, couple words. The most vivid memory of any type of advice I can remember him giving me was, do as many favors as you can for people and collect them. Because God forbid someday you need some help. Hopefully those are the people that will come back and help you. And I literally kind of have that mindset. Is it self-serving? I don't know. But I'm hoping that I've helped enough people that if I got in trouble myself, they would come without asking.
Well, there's no doubt we're going to really explore how many people you've helped through so many amazing things. Now, your late father, he was a volunteer firefighter.
Yeah, he was a fire chief down in Ironia. It was great.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, obviously, you know, the whole show is about bringing volunteers on, people that are not worried about me, but it's the we mentality. And I say that again, it's not about us. It's about helping the world out, you know, and not just about me. When your dad sadly passed at such a young age, what was the community's reaction in terms of how they gathered around you and your family to lift you up?
Oh, it's so great you're asking me that question, because it's something that I feel very passionate about. And first of all, I think because we used to go to all those affairs at the fire station, I was like, look at all these people getting together, doing picnics, they're doing magazine drives. You know, they're just getting together. There wasn't always fires, right? They got together more without fires. They got together as a group. But when he passed away, he had the whole fireman community came. And that was back in the day. We lived in a very large neighborhood. Everybody was close. I mean, I'm only close right now with my neighbors on my left and my right. They all came. They came like, I don't know, it reminded me of some old movie. Like, they had to come. Like, it wasn't even like there was a question. You bring gifts when you have people showing up with casseroles. Godfather's whispering in your ear. They bend down low. Don't worry, man. We're here for you. Anything happens, you know, we got you. That was the only wonderful thing about that whole experience was, you know, I didn't know when I was 12. I'm the oldest son. My mother never worked. I'm like, what's going to happen to us? And there were so many people swarming around, and they stayed for a while. They didn't just, you know, not one time. And they helped us a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a blessing, because so many people loved and adored your dad. You know, I had to say briefly, when I heard you bring up Brooklyn, that's where my late father was born and raised as well. And there's a certain moxie about the folks in Brooklyn.
There is.
It's hard to say. I mean, my dad similarly was an amazing trial lord, but an incredible father. He would also give us a look, and we knew, my brothers and I, we got a problem. So we better get it together, or we're going to be running for our lives.
Right.
There's no question about that. In terms of volunteerism, so, you know, your dad, you saw your dad volunteer fire chief. And, you know, I always try to think back about some of the formative years. And I know you're blessed with a wife and you have three wonderful kids. And as a parent, do you try to instill in them this concept of volunteerism and giving back?
Absolutely. You can't make your kids do anything, right? It's like you can try like crazy. We've lost, you know, I remember early years losing battles of, nope, I guess we're not going to let them cry all night, you know, hopefully fall asleep. You know, you pick your battles. I've tried to lead by example and hope that they are. Now, all my kids are known as really wonderful kids, real caring and giving. Can they do it? You know, is what I do something that's easily duplicated? I don't know. I have more resources to do that than they do, but they are very kind and giving kids, and I want them to volunteer to do things than they do when the opportunity arises. Like they're drawn to that. And I think because that's the family style we have. You know, we help people. My wife will do anything for anybody. We're those people that, you know, and maybe it's her Italian side thing. We're those people that if somebody dies, we're sending food, right? It's just a little, I kind of hug through the food to the family, try to make them feel better. So I think they do try to follow my lead, and it's what they witness every day. Like mine's 7 days a week. Like I'm always helping somebody if I can, and they see that.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your sweatshirt, and it says make a difference. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think I like the shirt a lot. I don't know where I found these. There's two of them in my closet. I don't know where they came from, and I see it and I look at it. And it reminds me that I also have to be reminded to make a difference every day. You know, we all have lives, right? You do a radio show. You're an awesome injury attorney. But you have a life. Things come up. And even though you had a mission, maybe my mission when I woke up was to make a difference today, things get in the way. I also need to be reminded myself. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here. And when I see it and I wear it and I feel it, it's like I'm shouting out, yeah, I make a difference. I want to make a difference. Tell me how I can make a difference.
Well, we're going to talk about how you made a lot of difference in a lot of lives. And I just want to go back to some of the inspirational things because, I mean, in life you go through different adversity. We all get our butts kicked. I mean, whoever says they never got their butt kicked is lying. Sooner or later, you're going to get it, and you probably get clobbered like from behind, like in football, right? So, and when we were, you know, getting ready for the show, you talked about how your father inspired you that anything is possible. And how does that carry you through the day in terms of your life and how you conduct yourself? But this idea, very uplifting message, is anything is possible.
Sure. Maybe give me a moment to talk about my Interact Club because they're really, really important to me, and it ties into anything is possible. So I've run a high school Interact Club for 17 years. I started it. It's an extension of the Rotary Club. Currently have 360 kids in our Interact Club, which is almost one-fourth of every kid in the high school, right? We take on projects that seem like there's no way in the world we could possibly pull that off. And we just say yes. Like I say yes to everything. They say yes to everything. I have 10 amazing officers. I got Bella Patillo, who's a freshman, only the second freshman we've ever had. I have Delaney. I have Vanessa. I have Julia Kest, who is the other first freshman we ever had. I have Chloe. I have, Tyler. I have Julia. I have Kaylee, and then I have two presidents, Krista and Caitlin. Like, we've picked up our name for ourselves because we're so large that we'll do anything. If you ask us, we'll do it. And the things that we get asked to do, we have no idea how to do them. We have a color run coming up, right? Maybe we can talk about that too. For Kayla Clevenger, a recent graduate of Roxbury High School who's suffering through thyroid cancer. This will be our 7th color run ever. It's May 22nd, by the way. And we would love your listeners to at least search it out and maybe come down. And when we first did our first color run, it was for the Carenti family. The father was suffering from brain cancer. The daughter, Kayla, was a freshman in our club, shy as could be. When she found out we were thinking about doing that, you know, we had this idea. Why don't we do a color run? You ever see them advertise? They'll roll into a city, charge $60 a head, and there'll be like 100,000 people will come out. Well, we wanted to do a local fun one. We had no idea. And the kids said, can we do this? I said, listen, anything's possible, right? Anything's possible. It could be great. It could be bad, but it's possible to do. And to have that mindset of anything is possible, it makes you less afraid to try anything. Some of the stuff these Interact kids have done to lead their peers, 300 kids, you would look at and go, you guys can't really do that. And we do it. Anything's possible.
I love that mentality.
I'm on the radio. Anything's possible.
Well, I dragged you on for the second time. Right. So anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
And the same thing from my perspective. You know, this is a new mission in my life as well. It's not a new one. I'm getting back to it and hopefully a little more intensity and see it through. It's brand new for me, too. I don't know. A lot of listeners have a different idea that they want to pursue. They're afraid of it. They're like, oh, my God, I'm going to fail. You never know. You put your hat in the ring and you go for it. But I love the ideas. Anything is possible because it really is. It's never done until it's done. And then everybody says, oh, yeah, that's right. We could have done that.
Could have done that.
I was thinking like Roger Bannister when he broke the 4-minute mile. Mm-hmm. I never was a great runner. But back in the day, that was like an incredible, like there's no way you could break the 4-minute barrier. Once it got broken by Roger Bannister, the times they're putting in now is beyond incredible.
Beyond incredible.
Beyond incredible. But, you know, I wanted to talk, your enthusiasm for the youngsters, these high school kids with the Interact Club was also very striking to me because, you know, so many people think, oh, the young kids, they're all screwed up. That's nonsense. The young kids are beautiful. They're amazing. They have so much potential. And you see it every day with the Interact Club. I want to talk a little more about it, but I want to first go back to the world of the Rotary Club. Because I was driving here this morning after my workout, of course, I have to get ready for the show, tip-top form. And especially with the Facebook Live audience, in the past they'd only hear the voice. Now they have to kind of see how I look, so I got to do my best. But the point is that you've been the Rotarian president 5 times. I want to go back in time. I want to bring you through the Ledgewood Mall, the old Ledgewood Mall. I know there's a lot of Renaissance going on in Roxbury. But there's a guy by the name of Don Schuld. Now, I never met Don, but, you know, I want to understand. You're going through the mall. How long ago was that?
Well, hold on. You have to first understand, first and foremost, Rotary changed my life, completely changed my life. It gave me a platform to do what I do now. So at the time I was walking in the Ledgewood Mall, we had recently moved to Roxbury. I was kind of looking to get involved. I didn't really know anyone here. You know, like as well as I'm known right now in Roxbury, if I stepped into your town, I didn't know nobody.
I'll walk. I'll get some red carpet out for you, Steve.
But it's this little place, so I didn't know anybody. This guy, Don Schuld, having a civic day. Hey, he called. This is something that is so amazing to me in life, right? And this is why it ties into so many things, why I love working with kids from fourth. You know, we have early act clubs. I run all the early act clubs in every elementary school in our town. There's like 100 kids in each club. They're fourth graders.
Wait, time is hold on. I have a little time out there. You're involved with these young kids. You're talking like fourth graders?
Fourth graders.
That's awesome.
So he took a moment. Think about this. All right, you ever get a straight text or a message from somebody, you're blown away the fact that they must have thought of you for a second. Like in their busy day, for some reason you popped into their head, enough for them to do something about it. This guy calls me over, doesn't let me walk by, no idea who I am. Calls me over, says, listen, this is our club, I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about it, right? But by that conversation when we were done, he goes, man, you seem pretty friendly. Why don't you come to a meeting? And by the way, what are you doing for work? I don't know, I just sold my limo business. I'm kind of looking around. Well, I'm also in the life insurance business. We'll talk about everything, right? This guy, Don Schuld, took me, plucked me. He had no idea what I was going through. I was probably actually pretty freaked out walking through that mall. I'd sold my business. I needed something else to do. I had all my kids, all the cars, mortgage, everything. My head was probably spinning a little bit, to be truthful. He plucks me, and I go to this thing called Rotary. I'm like, what is this? I was blown away when I first went in. Like, yep, I pretty much run that thing now. I mean, I know everything about it. I know everything about Rotary. I know everything about Paul Harris, Rotary International. I didn't know anything. And he took me in, and he wouldn't let me go. He called me Junior. He still calls me Junior, which is awesome because I'll always feel young. Junior, we have a meeting. You got to be there. Junior, we're taking these people from Sri Lanka down to Camden to see the battleship. You got to be there. He was that kind of guy, and we're as close as we can be still today.
That's such a blessing. You know, if you think about it, how people can touch your lives in ways you never even consider. And that's part of life's mysteries and life's journey is you are on a journey. You don't know that one person can change your entire life. You can go from down and out, and then all of a sudden your spirits get lifted up. It's an incredible gift.
Because somebody takes a second. He didn't have to. He could have grabbed the guy behind me. Think about that. He could have grabbed the guy behind me, or maybe he was talking when I walked by. Never joined. If I had never joined Rotary, I'm probably not on this radio show.
Well, I don't know. I'm blessed.
No, I'm telling you, it's the platform to give. It's a platform for kindness. It's now 45 like-minded people that are only trying to be kind and help others.
That's just an incredible thing. Well, God bless Don Schuld. And, you know, one of the things in life, too, is mentorship is so important. And what I find so beautiful and so incredible about you, Steve, is you mentor so many kids, but you're paying it back. You're paying it back, okay? An example, if you're doing good deeds, they're going to come back to you, that whole idea of karma, right? So how many years ago did you meet Mr. Schuld at the mall?
23.
That's pretty crazy. 23 years ago.
23 years ago.
So 23 years ago, you got introduced to the Rotary Club. And I was joking with you last time you were on the show. The only knowledge I knew about the Rotary Club when I grew up in Springfield, New Jersey, right here in Union County, they sponsored a little league team I was on. And kind of which was really cool is I sponsor some of the local youth athletic things. I think it's really important because I loved it. I remember playing under the lights, little league ball at the Springfield pool. And I try to, you know, give back every chance I can. But the idea of just how a life can be touched in so many different ways, and you keep on mentoring. So one of the things that we did on the to promote the show, like I'm like a bit like P.T. Barnum.
I like to
get in there, you know. I loved one of my favorite movies, The Greatest Showman, with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He's a really talented guy. I said, if not us, then who? Now, I know that's one of the mantras, right, of the Rotarian way. And we also, I was doing a little research, have to seem intelligent as best I can, hopefully not fooling the listeners, of course, is service above self.
Oh, it's a biggie.
And I want to understand, when did you first feel when you got into the Rotary Club 23 years ago, what magic was available that you could start to spread all over the world?
It was probably 2 full years. I think I joined I didn't join for the reasons I'm in it now, for sure. It was starting to see that we were giving money locally to people that it really affected their lives. And I, you know, service above self. That was it. If you're in Rotary, it's what they talk about all the time. It's a really hard concept to actually know what it really means, service above self, right? And then you start realizing that these people are donating and sacrificing all their time for other people, and these weren't run-of-the-mill people. We had the judge in the club, the police chief. They're busy people, right? But they're given all this time to cook sausage sandwiches at a sucky sunny day. So we could raise enough money to go buy dictionaries to get every third grader that year. And when you tie it all together, you're like, wow, that is service above self, right?
That's a beautiful thing. That's exactly what my show is about, is
service above self.
People doing stuff to help others, not for the pat on the back. They find time out of their busy day to do these things. And for the listeners, this is another prime example of a wonderful platform, the Rotary Club. So you get your feet wet, you start to, I'm assuming, start to immerse yourself. When did you start to see the change in you in terms of your involvement and kind of how it changed your view of the world?
There was another Rotarian whose name was Scott Fullerton. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fullerton Grounds Maintenance or Fullerton Garden Center, whatever. He was the busiest human being I've ever seen from work. And it was his time to be president. And I'm watching him run the club. And it was different than the previous president to me. And I remember at the end of the year when he was leaving, I walked up to him and said, just so you know, I mean, I'd run through a wall of fire for you. And I felt that, and I still feel that today. He is so giving of his time and resources and vocation, and he has no time to give. He's got a special needs daughter, sadly, takes all of his time just to care for her, and he runs a huge business. He's building Habitat for Humanity homes, and I watched him, and I'm like, yeah, see, like, that's who I want to be. You pick people you want to be. So I just started listening to everything he did and how he conducted himself. And Don Schuld, of course. And trust me, even today, Don's still guiding me. And I've been president 5 times. I've done every job in Rotary. I have to be at least one of the most active members. He's still guiding me. But to see a guy like that, I'm like, all right. You start tying it all together and like, all right, I knew what my time was going to come to be president. I'm like, what would make me a good president? I just took a bit of everybody and just just led by example. And that's one thing I really knew. If I'm going to be a good president, there's not going to be an event that I'm not going to be the first at. If we're going to sell tickets, I'm going to sell the most. And I figured if I do that, maybe they'll just follow me along. And it's kind of worked out that way.
You know, I was writing some notes. I got a little worked up at the beginning of the show. But one of the things I wanted to say about you, Steve, is you truly lead by example. It's easy to say you're going to do something, but it's hard to actually do it and stay with it. And you've been doing this for all these years. One of the things that I thought was really interesting about you, and one of the beautiful things I mentioned at the beginning, was you really don't say no to people that need a hand up to help others. And that's another beautiful trait. And if you'll be so kind, kindness attracts kindness, so I hopefully get an answer, is where do you think you get that from, that, you know, you have something inside. It's hard to even understand it probably, but hopefully you can explain it for us together, is because I think the listeners would want to hear, and people that, you know, love and adore you, is where do you get that inside that you can say no when people say, I need a hand up, or, you know, this person's sick, or they're battling cancer, or we're going to clear brush in a horrible weather, whatever it might be. Are you going to inspire these fourth graders? Where does it come from inside?
I'm going to answer this. It's a little heavy. Hopefully it doesn't freak anybody out.
We got to wake up the listeners. Hopefully they're up.
And I'm hoping there's one listener at this show who's going to understand what I'm talking about. I've given a lot of thought to this, and I've been operating this way for quite a while now. I think we owe a debt to somebody. Who we owe the debt to, I'm not positive. Is it God? Is it the universe? It's not my neighbor, right? It's something big. I've received more passes in my life that have no explanation why. Some of them were big. Like, I needed a pass. That's when you're down on your knees. You're talking to God, crazy. God, give me a pass in this. I swear to you, I will make it up to you. But if you really think about it, you come into this world, you owe a debt. You owe a debt to your parents for bringing you in. You owe a debt to that one teacher who for some reason wouldn't let you fail. I sincerely feel I owe a debt. I don't even know how big the ledger is. Like, I don't know how many I owe. It's all that drives me. I owe somebody, and I think it's God, a debt. And the only way I can pay off the debt, I'm being serious here too, I'm not out of my mind, is by doing good, as many good deeds as humanly possible. Most good deeds are so easy to do. It's just a matter of doing them. Hardly any of them cost grandiose amounts of money. Most of them cost no money at all. And I feel like every time I do one, or the people I'm guiding, all my wonderful Interact kids, my early out kids, we had an event a month ago, an Easter egg hunt in town. They needed like 30 of my Interact kids to spread out 3,400 Easter eggs, so 800 kids could come get them. It was 8:30 in the morning. It was raining. It was cold. All my kids, we all say yes, we'll go. I'm trying to teach them that we have a debt. It's got to be repaid. This is an easy way to repay it. Outside of helping people, I have no other way to repay my debt.
Well, that's beautiful, Stevie. Now, this is once again why I was so honored and really amazed that you're willing to come on the show and spread this kind of message, which is from your heart and soul. And that's why I'm so privileged when guests do come on, because they do bear their soul. And some people don't know until you sit in the room with me. We like to get in on it and understand that if I can say the secret sauce that I like to have everybody tap into, because we need more people like yourself. You know, one of the things that, you know, I wanted to figure out is the Rotary Club. Now, there's all different clubs, whatever, you know, there's a zillion and one different clubs
million,
out there.
A million.
There's so many clubs, you know. Next week, I'm going to bring on some of my great friends in the 200 Club.
I'm a 200 Club member. Well, I love that.
They're wonderful, and that supports the first responders.
I love that organization.
And God bless the first responders on Easter, Passover. Doesn't matter. They're always putting their life on the line to protect us and keep us safe. The Rotary Club, you know, I always get, and you're a wonderful guy and a handsome rascal, but I always think of like an older bunch of guys getting together. But what's it like now with the Rotarian Club? What's the mix of the members?
Great question. So Rotary was known as our governor puts it, Shelby Rhodes, male, pale, and stale. Our current club, we have, let's say, 45 members, 12 are women. We have four different cultures represented. We've been getting younger our most recent young guy. This is great too, by the way. If you can give me like 30 seconds, this is blow your mind. I didn't even know this. We take on a new member named Mike. He's 24 years old. He went to Roxbury, went to the military. He's having some issues mentally. He came out. The military now encourages veterans to join Rotary clubs. You have an immediate family. This guy comes in at 24 years old. He's an animal. He goes to every event. He helps with everything. So now we're getting younger. We're very diverse. It's awesome. And having that big mixture of women, men, youth, keep some of the old guys for the seasoning that really know the ropes. It's just so incredibly awesome. Like, I can't wait for Thursday at 12:15 to go back to my lunch meeting. And our lunch meeting, I wish you would come. I've asked you many times. It is complete controlled chaos. It is bedlam at the barn at our meeting. Laughter, busting chops. We pass around, we do these happy dollars. Because of the types of members we have, it's not uncommon for us to raise $700-$800 a meeting in happy dollars.
Oh, that's awesome, Steve. Listen, for the listeners, we're going to be right back in 30 seconds with Steve Alford, the five-time Rotarian president.
Woo! The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to LeonardCharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
So Steve, you're all worked up. I mean, you're calling
out of my mind right now.
That's beautiful, but you're calling me out like on the radio and Facebook Live. Like, when are you going to show up at the barn and let's kick it and let's kind of get you in on it? And I will definitely have.
Yeah,
to
but can I tell you real quick why I keep bringing that up?
Why is that?
You mentioned mentorship before, right? I have a really strong feeling about mentorship. I think it's backwards. You know, I don't think anybody asks somebody to be their mentor. I think it happens naturally. Do you know you've become a small mentor of mine?
Now I'm fascinated. Talk to me.
If you think about what a mentor is to you, it's somebody that you start to feel comfortable. You can go to them for advice. You know they got something good going on. They're taking care of their business. They're raising a family. They're doing okay. You start picking up words that they use or things that they say or the way they treat you. You make me feel like every time you talk to me, you're like, good looking guy, great guy. If you said to me, if I said to anybody in the world once a day, you're the greatest human being I've ever met, within 3 months, they would think they're the greatest human being they ever met. So my point is, never discount someone you meet in your life that could be, like, everybody could be a possible mentor to you. You have become a mentor to me. The fact that you would do this show is inspiring to me. It truly is. I mean, Sunday morning. And I hear your words, and I know the research you did just for me on your show. You care about me as a human being. It's incredible. I consider us friends. I mean, we met randomly. You're becoming a mentor to me. And I think over time, I just know down the road something's going to happen. And just the way you think about life and your experiences are going to help me. And I think everybody should keep their eyes open to possible mentors in their life, but it should never be so artificial where you approach someone and say, would you be my mentor? Just be open to people being your mentor and be open to you mentoring people. Your actions, they watch. You know, they see what you do. They might not talk about it, but it's affecting them.
Well, God bless you. And I feel the same way about you, Stephen. When I think about all the things you've done, and I want to dig a little deeper on it. And God bless Mike, the serviceman. You know, I love the military. I am so pro-military. I have so much respect and admiration for the folks that serve our country.
You do.
And sadly, at times they pay the ultimate price. And when they come back, sometimes they're broken. And we all got to lift them up.
We're saving his life right now.
And that's a blessing. That really is. You know, and I think about the way the world spins, because they spin sometimes a little out of control. I know what my late parents, they instilled in me, the belief, like you were sharing with me, anything is possible. You're going to have a great future. They believed in me. And like, parents need to instill that in their children, but also the mentors, like myself being a lawyer. I've been blessed to work with some of the most incredible lawyers on the other side. Win, lose, or draw, I'll shake their hand. men and women say, I learned a lot from what you just did. Maybe I got my butt kicked, but now I learned something. And I have a lot of respect for people that are very good at what they do. Let's dig in a little bit now with the Rotary Club. And for the listeners, if they want to get involved with the Rotary Club or reach out to you, what's the best way for them to reach you, Steve?
I will say to all the listeners, and I think there's actually a Rotarian. He listens to this station. His name's Larry Ripley, because he reached out to me after our last show. Listen, Rotary is different now. The new Rotary, you don't have to live in the town or work in the town. You don't even have to be working. We are looking. There's not even attendance. Maybe you go once a month if you can make it. If you're looking to help people and you're willing to give back, like you feel you owe a debt. Almost every town in the state has a Rotary Club. Just go online and type in your town name and Rotary. If they have a meeting, you should go. You are going to immediately be with a group of people that just want to help people. Forget all that. Forget about it. You're going to start eating lunch with a group of people that are nice and kind, or they wouldn't go if they weren't kind. No one's mean and joins Rotary. Like, you're doing something else, you know. I encourage everyone to join a Rotary Club. Dues are $150 for the year. Get to go eat lunch. We're getting a lot of retirees now. You know, they don't have anything to do, and they still have all that energy and wisdom, right? Go join a Rotary Club. It's not the worst thing you'll do in your life, trust me.
Well, look at the people you're around. This is the other thing I love about the show, hanging with guys like you, with some wonderful ladies on, you name it. I'm hoping some of it rubs off on me as well, because if you surround yourself with good people, generous people, kind people, over time, if you're not that way, you will be that way.
You'll be that way.
Because it really depends on who you associate with. You think about the most successful people, think about who they're hanging around. If you're the smartest person in the room, you got a problem. So it's good to really...
Yeah, you never want to be the smartest guy.
You never want to be the smartest guy. So, thankfully, I never have that problem. But literally, I always think, you know, an organization is only as good as the membership and their commitment. I want to talk about, you know, the fundraisers that you've been involved with, a five-time Rotarian. And I know there's probably countless and countless.
Hundreds,
right. But when you have a call out for help, because sadly people do need help, and, you know, you're there. You're like the cavalry. And when you get that call for help, how does the Rotarians kind of get together and kind of roll with it? And we're gonna provide the support. How's that work?
All right, so a perfect example of anything is possible. 2 years ago, when COVID started, we have several fundraisers during the year that are automatic. The fruit and pie sale in November, cash raffle in May, one other thing. I can't even think about it at the moment, but we have to do all these other things as they come up. Couldn't do any of our normal fundraisers. It's COVID. We still have to give out 20 grand for the year. That's like kind of what we give out just to start, the people that need it, every year. And I went to the club and I said, listen, we got to try something. Why don't we just do a cornhole tournament? It's outside. It's a little less restrictive. Maybe people will come. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's try it. Never did one before, right? Start getting boards, whole thing, make it work. First year we raised $4,000. Second year, COVID, I'm saying, you know what, let's do it, but let's make it even crazier. Went out and got almost 100 sponsors for the event, raised $12,000. 64 teams show up. My point is, if somebody in the club is passionate about an idea to help other people, as long as they present it, for the most part, the members will rally behind that. Listen, everybody wants to do something. They just need someone to start something, right? There has to be an idea. Yeah, we'll go do that. But you can't have a room full of people. Yeah, I'm willing to do anything today. It's like a group of people trying to figure out where to go to dinner. It eventually takes one person to go, no, we're going to go to Migo, you know, in all you can eat sushi. And all right, we're going there. Somebody has to have the idea, and then people will normally just follow it.
Interesting. You know, with cornhole, I have to tell you, I'm fascinated by the game. I never heard of the game until recently. I actually watch sometimes late at night these college cornhole tournaments. I'm like, these guys can play. I played my first cornhole literally like about 9 months ago, give or take. And I actually enjoyed it. But you raised so much money.
So much money.
So much money with the game. And where's the money go, Steve?
Well, first of all, I'm going to read between the lines and take that to mean you are coming to this year's Cornell tournament in September. You're also going to be a sponsor, and you're bringing a whole crew from your law firm. So that's good. So Rotary Club, we got Todd, so we're good. It could go a number of places. Some of it goes to social services. Some of it goes to buy dictionaries. Some of it goes to support the local library. There is not. At any of one of our meetings, there is not a Cub Scout, Girl Scout, Eagle Scout, high school choir, high school track team. If you come into our club, you're leaving with money. You're leaving with $500. You're leaving with – if you request money from us, we are 99% of the time going to help you. And then we search out things. People need home heating oil. We find out through the grapevine. That money goes there. We give it out constantly, and we try to do a good job with the fundraisers.
So, you know, sadly – people are touched by cancer, sadly. I lost my parents to it. It's a dreaded disease, and it's like talk about getting clobbered from behind. But when you hear someone's battling cancer, you guys circle the wagons. But one of the beautiful stories is when you dressed up as a leprechaun for St. Baldrick's. And I found that once again. I use the word striking because to me it is striking. These young kids, right, for St. Baldrick's, what do they do to show their love and support for those that are battling cancer?
Well, for the listeners that don't know what St. Baldrick's Day is, it's really like at schools, kids can sign up that they're going to get their head shaved in front of their classmates on stage by volunteer barbers and hairdressers. They have a donation sheet, and the people sponsor them to get their head shaved. So, you know, what you end up with is it's an elementary school usually, and you have third and fourth grade boys and girls sit on stage and get their heads completely shaven. And the Kennedy School several years ago said, hey, we got this idea. I don't know if you're willing to do it. Can you go out and buy a leprechaun suit? You know, it seems like you help everybody anyway. So we figured we'd take a shot. Would you buy a leprechaun suit, come down to our school as another fundraiser to raise money for cancer? They can take a picture with you for – I said, stop. Yeah, I'll be – just tell me the date and the time. I even went as far as to go buy those little gold coins that the leprechauns give out. And they just – one by one, they sat next to me, someone with their head shaven. You watch a little girl – I mean, think about how hard school is, first of all. It's brutal, right? I know my kids. I talk to them all the time. It's hard enough in school. Some fourth grade girl was that touched because her uncle had cancer or her aunt had cancer that she's willing to shave her head. It makes you cry. Like, I literally got tears streaming into my orange beard. I'm like, oh my God, that's pure. That is as pure as it gets. That is just perfect.
And that's one of the examples of why we have to believe in the kids, because the kids are amazing and the kids have a lot of resiliency. Yes, there's a lot of troubled kids as well. And we're going to talk about that briefly in a minute.
Melanie.
I know you want me to talk about Melanie a little bit, who's...
I do want to talk about Melanie.
Yeah.
So let's just leave it at Melanie.
Okay.
We found out about a girl who was suffering from leukemia. She was about 7 years old at the time. And we hear that, and we're like, we want to do something. Track down the father. It was a miracle to even get a hold of him. Start talking to him. Hey, we want to do something for your daughter. Well, I don't know what you can do, you know? She's blah, blah, blah. You know, the bills are, you know, someone's already helping us with the bill. She's at CHOP. So we came up with the idea that we were just going to give her a box full of cash, because at that age, one of the things you like doing is counting. So that was the premise. Show up with we rallied the troops, show up with a box full of like $1,500 in different denominations, go to the house, me and this other guy. She opens it. And it wasn't so much even her, it was her younger sister. Eyes were like saucers. She's like, look at all that money. And she looked at me. And that, oddly enough, this was the best part about life. When I walked in, I didn't think I knew who she was. She looks at me and she goes, oh, you're dictionary man. I said, excuse me? Her hair was like half gone. You're dictionary man. What do you mean? You gave me a dictionary last year. Because I give a dictionary to every third grader in town every year for like 19 years. I sit in front of the class, do a whole program. I look at their little faces. So from that moment, she became like my complete inspiration. I wanted her to live so badly and fight this disease. And I ended up like, you know, that happened. Then I found these cool ice cream containers online you can buy that actually have inspirational messages on them. And I found out her favorite ice cream, and I sent them for her and her brother and sister. And, you know, you can do McDonald's, DoorDash. Let me trust you. You ever want to make someone's day? Do McDonald's, DoorDash just with chocolate chip cookies. It'll cost you about $4.69, maybe a $3 tip for the driver, your life will be forever changed. They come warm and gooey. Then I get the video, and now I become friendly with the parents. My Rotary Club is behind everything we're doing for her, right? They'll do anything for her. We're doing some other stuff. I get the video one day, and it's her ringing the bell, the cancer bell.
That's beautiful.
And I said to myself, I'm never going to leave this girl's side. So a couple of years have gone by. She's cancer-free, and I love that family to death, and I would do anything for them. But they're inspiring me so – like it's like her strength is allowing me to run a cornhole tournament, is allowing me to go do other things, just doing it for all those other people, but I'm really doing it for Melanie. I said, thank you, because I owe her a debt. She impacted my life. She changed it forever.
Right.
Forever.
God bless her, and I pray she continues to be cancer-free. I know there's so many things to talk about, Steve. I'm ready to jump out of my chair because there's a zillion and one things. I mean, one thing about Steve Alford is it's countless on everything you've done, and you do it in a way you just stay with it. And you do it for the last, 20 some odd years, and you got a lot of energy and passion, and that's contagious, I'm sure, for your fellow Rotarians. I know we also talked, Stephen, recently about, the local food pantries, because one of the things that also is a bit of a heartbreak for me is even in an affluent community, Morris County, there's unfortunately folks that need a hand up, that need a little help, a little food, and you take it for granted. Everybody drives by, and you're like, you don't think about the human condition the way you need to. How important is the local food pantry to you as well?
It's very important. We have 300 families in Roxbury. Think about that. Listen, I've always believed this, and it was pretty close to happening when my father died because my mother had never worked. We were probably not well off anyway. I mean, judging by the meals we ate all week, we were probably just hanging in there like normal. The fact that my neighbor could be that person, the fact that I could be that person, I have this full belief that there's only a fine line between prosperity and complete disaster. So, like, it's an example of another fundraiser we did. How can we help? How can we raise gas cards for local social services? So 2 years ago, we just did our second annual one, and you know about it because I was hammering you for a donation this year. Right, I said to the kids, we're going to sell water for $25 a case. And they're like, what? Trust me, anything's possible. We'll put it on the anything possibles list. I think people would do that. And you guys are going to run a mini carnival. Just make up games. I don't care. Figure it out. And once again, this year, we sold enough cases of water and enough from the carnival to give social services 126 $25 gas cards. The social services director was crying to the point where the two little girls, the two interact officers that came with me, who are not, I wouldn't consider highly emotional people, were so devastated and affected by it that they were crying. And I just told them, never forget that feeling. You can touch people's lives. You can make them better. But if we don't help our neighbors, forget our neighbors. We don't help people. If you don't help people, forget that they're neighbors. You don't help them, who's gonna? Like, if not us, then who? It's like Don Shula's famous words, and it took me 16 years to figure out what they mean. If we're not gonna help them, who's gonna? Maybe other people will, but just in case, let's make sure we do.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we help them.
I mean, it's one of those things in life, too. You always think someone else is going to step up, and guess what? No one does.
They'll get it. No one does.
Right, and that's why people like you are so amazing, is you stand up right away, and then people follow you because they see, hey, Steve Alford, the Rotarians are standing up, they're helping out, and then the community. You know, you were telling me about this fundraiser, people are paying money for water, case of water. And you told me about a gentleman that showed up with his young son.
That blew me away.
Yeah, what was that? Just can you tell the listeners about that little beautiful little story?
The only thing that upsets me about that story is I didn't take his number. I'm really weird. If I become your friend, and people take some while to understand this, I'm your friend for life. I'll be Melanie's friend for life. Emily Mayer from that first show, she's my friend for life. I'm with you for life. This guy, there was a lot of stuff going on in the parking lot of the church, and one of my officers yells, Alford, you got to go get that guy. He just spent $100 for two cookies. Didn't even take any water. I'm like, what? So me and her stop him as he's leaving. He's got his 12-year-old son in the front seat, and I'm like, bro, I got to ask you, why did you just pay $100 for two cookies? And he's dead serious. He goes, because I want my son to understand that if this many people are willing to come out to help other people, we have to help those people help those people. Like, we don't necessarily have to help the people they're helping. We have to help them. Help them. And I'm like, I looked at the kid, and I said, if you do nothing else in life, just be like your dad.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, that was...
And now you bring it up, I'm so upset because that's a guy who could have been my friend. I like that guy. I would have liked to get to know him more. and keep him as an ally. But I have a feeling if we do it again next year, he's probably going to show up again.
Incredible. Well, maybe he's listening. Who knows, Stephen?
Bro, if you're listening, yeah. Rotary Club, The Barn, every Thursday, 12:15, I got to see you again, bro.
Yeah, I have a feeling he'll be reaching back in contact with you. I want to go back, though, about these Interact Club, the Interact, the Early Act. And, you know, one of the things that I have to tell you, growing up, we didn't really have that available. And I know we're trying to be much more socially conscious now, you know, all the educators and the kids and the programs and all the wonderful things that are now available. But whose brainchild was that, the Early Act? I mean, we're talking young kids, the Interact Club. Where did that all evolve from?
Can you give me a full minute? Like one full minute?
We got another minute, Steve. You're loquacious.
So I go to a district conference. We do have district conferences. We got one coming up in Hershey next week. I see a woman speaking about there was an Interact Club in some high school. And I'm not listening to that. I'm like, you know what? We don't have that in our club. We just have Kiwanis. My kids are still in school. No, well, they were younger, but they were going to be getting to high school. So I approached the school. I said, all right, we'll give it a shot. It's a leadership club, right? Helps with public speaking. I start the club. And it took a while to get going. The first club had 20 people in it. Today, we have the largest Interact Club in the United States, Roxbury High School does, by far. Like, it's not even close. And then I go to another conference, and they started an Early Act Club for little kids. So I get to school to agree. We have wonderful superintendents in Roxbury. They, against their will, they start a club. And Franklin School was the first chartered Early Act Club in New Jersey. And then other schools wanted to duplicate it because these kids are the ones that end up. Listen, if you want to do well in life, unfortunately, all your kids, I doubt there's any kids listening that are too young, but you got to learn to public speak a little bit.
Well, hold on. My boys better be listening.
Boys, Leonard boys.
I gave my wife strict instructions. I want the youngsters listening, but
Leonard boys, here's the only advice you're going to get from Mr. Alford today. Learn to public speak just a little bit. Not good. You don't even have to be good. Learn to be daring enough to go up and speak at all. It'll make you a leader. You could go to any meeting in the world and in your life, and who's ever talking, and with confidence, everyone in the room is like, oh, he's leading the meeting. We must listen to him. These kids are amazing. I'm giving a service award to someone coming up on the 28th who doesn't even know. She won some Morris County Service Award. I'm reading the article and tapping to Roxbury. She was in the Early Act Club in fourth grade. She was so shy. I told her, you got to become the speaker of the club. She's like, what? I said, yeah, the speaker speaks. Now she's an animal. Kids are amazing, but you have to learn to speak a little bit. You got to be able to. Everyone has something inside of them. You got to get it out. You got to get it out, because every time you get it out a little bit, it just makes it so much easier.
You know, Stephen, you were regaling us, the listeners and myself, about the seed of an idea, the germination of an idea, right? You're starting with these students, and it's spreading, right? You lead them by example, but the kids, you know, I'm assuming you're creating a legacy of excellence here. So you have the younger kids, the high school kids, and if they get exposed at an earlier age to this idea of not just about me, I want to be kind, I want to give back, I want to lift up others, what impact do you think it's already having on these young folks?
It's having a lot of impact, I can tell. They're more confident. They see they've helped somebody. It carries over into other areas of their life. I've never seen a time in my life where so many juniors work. There's so many kids work. They have jobs. And the kids in my Interact Club, please make no mistake, these are not outlier kids. All my officers are like all this. I have six seniors. The six are in the top 10 in the class. They're captains of their sports teams. They build confidence when you help somebody. Forget it. Maybe you fail at public speaking. I don't even care. If you're part of a group that helps somebody, you've earned some confidence for that day. And it springs you forward to do other things and take other chances. And I see these kids go to college and they keep in touch with me. They're joining groups. They're starting groups. They're running groups. They're doing great in school. I've fortunately been doing it long enough. I have Interact kids that are married. They have jobs. They're doctors, whatever, cops. They have kids. Do good, be good, right? Like, just do good and you will be good. Just do good. Just do good. Do something good.
Right. You know, but let's go back to the idea. Everybody has a different talent in life, whatever it might be. It takes a while to figure out what you're really good at and keep on honing it over and over. And some people are not great public speakers. I think you should try. But whatever you're into, whatever you're good at, some people are great builders. Some people have a gift. They can see a vision and they can make it happen. But everybody does have that gift in life. For the listeners, you should find it and do good, as you said. The other thing, you know, there were so many wonderful mantras when I was thinking of Stephen. This idea, kindness attracts kindness, though. I just, when I heard that, it resonated so deep, because if you think about it, I'm reading too much into it, but it's almost like you're putting something out into the universe and it's going to come back to you. So what's this kindness attracts kindness from your perspective?
Well, I just saw evidence of it 15 minutes ago. There's someone behind that camera filming our session, and I just looked in that direction for any type of, during our break, our 30-second break, of a response of how it was going, and I could see the look in that person's face. It made me feel so good, and they're kind, I'm kind, right? There's no hiding that. And you know, you go to an area, if you're kind, people will find you. You don't even have to go find them. Like, it's just important to me, and I think it's a real thing.
It's incredible. I mean, I love it. One of the other things that there's so many things I'm fascinated by. I mean, like you said, there's a zillion and one things about Steve Alford. One of my friends was busting my chops, sent me a little Facebook message. He's like, Steve Alford, is that the hoops guy from Indiana? I thought that was a little naughty, because I said, you're much better off the court. No disrespect to Steve Alford. You're amazing. How's your basketball skills?
I used to play in a league at St. Therese on Friday night, and my hands are tiny. Look, they're tiny. So when I shoot, the ball kind of goes sideways, but I could play D, and I could set some great picks, and I loved it's not really my sport. Golf, I'm a little better at golf.
No, I was saying, you're a stocky lad, and I had to just bust his chops, because when I see him next time, I will remind him about that. The other thing that I find interesting in so many ways is you're on, like, this crusade, like the Million Man March.
Oh, it's
you
a crusade.
Want to meet a million
it's
people.
It's a crusade.
And I never met anyone. I'm 58 years young. You're the same age. I never even thought about the idea, but I love it. What about this? You want to meet a million people. And what number are you up to now?
346,248, except I just met.
Yeah, Charlie.
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 Right. 249.
So, amazing. And you met Ellen, too, right?
She was 47.
Yeah, she was kind enough to let us into the WMTR studio. So before we, you know, let you run and do the rest of your beautiful things today on Easter. You have any advice for the listeners, Stephen, about what you've been trying to do with the Rotary Club and with your life? Is there any advice you'd like to give the listeners?
So I would like to say, I don't know how I came off in this interview today. I am not a great public speaker. I get nervous. There's things that I'm fearful of. I owe a debt. I think you owe a debt. You got to get out of your comfort zone, because what's the difference anyway? I used to care so much about what people thought about me. I think I'm sure people think I'm listening right now. I think I'm insane, completely insane. I could get some ridicule for things I said here today. I don't care. I have one life to live. I want to meet a million people. That's something I want to do. I want to do everything I want to do in my life, especially when you're 58 years old. You realize, you know, we're like not to the top. We haven't crested yet. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I want to do everything I want to do, and I don't care really what people think about it. I have a good heart. I have good intentions. If you're in trouble, I'll help you. If you're in trouble, I'll really help you, because you were nice to me during that 30-second break. I'm going to take people on for life. So my advice to the listeners is, go do something uncomfortable today. Just do something nice. Do whatever it takes to, when you go to bed tonight, you know that you made a small difference in the world. Just make a difference any way you possibly can.
You know, Steve, what you just said, it was so many wonderful, beautiful things. I think all the listeners are blown away by your humanity, and your huge heart. I love people with huge heart, and you have an incredible heart. I like a little insanity, because, listen, you got to run your own race. And this is one of the things with the listeners. Everybody's worried about what their neighbor's going to say, what their parents are going to say, what their girlfriend or wife. You got to do your thing. Whatever turns you on, you got to do it. You only live once. You got to make the world better. But you're really a blessing, Stephen. Every time I think of you, I think of a guy who's so wonderful and so giving and so kind. And you've touched so many lives, and you're going to continue to touch lives.
Hopefully.
And and was so proud you thought I was your mentor. You're my mentor because I think of you when I want to get more involved and do more things. And I say, that's Steve Alford. He never says no to people. And if more people in the world would be like Steve Alford, this would be an incredible world. Before we leave you for this incredible show, I just want to wish everyone an amazing Passover and an amazing Easter. You know, people like Steve Alford have that magic. We can all make the world better. We should all pull together. If you see someone down and out, lift them up. If someone doesn't look right, hey, say, what's up? Why are you look a little sad? Let's all do this together. Let's make a commitment to do good, to help others in need. Each week, I do my best to bring on people like Steve Alford. If you know people that are making a difference in this world, you contact my office, call my office at 973-920-7900. God bless you. Please tune in next Sunday. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.